Sure. All right. Good morning, everyone. Us here at the building, at church building, and to everyone online as well. Welcome to our service. Okay. Thanks, Gayu, for reading that. And today I want to introduce to us. Oh, I'm still wearing this. To us, the season of Lent, and how you might be able to use this time leading up to Easter to enrich your spiritual life. All right, so I want to encourage you to have the passage open in front of you this morning. We're just going to refer to a little bit, and it's not going to be up on the screen. But first, put your hand up if you have never heard of Lent before. Oh, everyone's heard of it. Oh, great. Okay, cool. So what is Lent about? Okay, so put your hand up if you haven't heard of Lent before. All right, we got one honest person. All right, so has anyone heard of Lent and got some idea of what it might be about? Cool. Would you mind sharing? Cool, yeah, so it's like fasting before Easter. Thanks, Michael. Anyone else? Cool, yeah, so that is one of the things about it. Lent is the season right before Easter. By tradition, it lasts 40 days, not counting Sundays, before Easter Sunday. And so it adds up to actually 46 days. But the themes of Lent are fasting, repentance, and what's called almsgiving. And so what we might also call charity or service to others. Lent is the season of everything that builds up to Good Friday. Right, the day that Jesus died and the darkest day of the Christian year. A Good Friday is a day we solemnly remember the pain and suffering of Jesus as he carried the weight of the world on his shoulders to the cross. And the season of Lent gives us the time and space to prepare our hearts leading up to this day. Now, the scripture reading today was the story of Mary and Martha welcoming Jesus into their home. And this passage has nothing to do with Lent, traditionally. But the passage usually associated with Lent is Jesus' 40 days in the desert where he was tempted by the devil. And that's where the 40 days for Lent comes from. But I thought that today, let's explore Lent from the perspective of this particular passage of Scripture. The story of Mary and Martha. The story of Mary and Martha is one that comes up for me pretty often. And maybe it's because I always feel like Martha. I feel like I'm so busy all the time. You know, quick show of hands. Okay, so you have to use your hands this time. From 0 to 10, how busy do you feel on a typical day? Go. All right, I see at least two hands on everyone, or like 90% of people have at least two hands up. And if you don't, then really, I'm really happy for you. But in general, I think, yeah, we're all quite busy people. Like, busyness is a problem in our world today. Especially now with our ever-shortening attention spans. It's so common to feel the urge to need to be doing something all the time. I'll never forget this one time when I was in Palmerston North and I'd forgotten my phone. Right, the entire day I was doing this. Like, it doesn't matter where I was. I was in my office, I was out to lunch, I was meeting people. I needed to, like, have my phone on me. And, you know, if you asked me whether I was addicted to my phone before, I'd be like, probably not. But the fact that I needed it in my hand all the time, that I was always reaching for it, that it was like an itch. Right? Our attention spans have become shorter and shorter as the world becomes faster and faster, and it feels so natural to be doing things all the time. And all that contributes to our busyness. Right? Sitting still, with nothing in our hands, staring out the window, doing nothing. As someone once quipped, ain't no one got time for that. But now, Martha, in today's story, she was busy. She wasn't that kind of busy. She was legitimately busy. because she was cleaning the house and preparing the food for Jesus, so that Jesus could be welcomed as the guest of honor that he is. And maybe this is the kind of busy that you are. For me, I have a ton of schoolwork on top of preparing sermons, activities, visiting people, teaching piano. It all adds up pretty quickly. And there are legitimate things that do need to be done. But even though Martha was legitimately busy, let's look, see what the Bible has to say about her. If you look at verse 40, it says that she was distracted. If you look at verse 41, Jesus calls her worried and upset. But the truth is, we can be busy for a variety of reasons. We can be busy because we have legitimate things to do, or we can be busy by our own making. But either way, it doesn't change the fact that when we are busy, we too, like Martha, quickly become distracted, worried, and upset. And when we are distracted, worried, and upset, we start missing the important things. We lose track of the bigger picture. Busyness to us is like blinders on a horse. Right? All we end up seeing is what's in front of us when there is so much more to see. Whereas Martha's sister Mary was, quote, verse 40, sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to say. And in verse 42, Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is better. Sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to say, is the better choice. So in this time leading up to Easter, Lent is a practice that can help us do this. Through prayer and fasting and repentance, we too can practice laying aside the busyness of our days and sit at Jesus' feet and choose what is better. For the longest time, Easter to me was just a day. Even during those years when we did something for Easter, I remember a few years we did a passion production, right? And then there was, if you've been around for long enough, you remember I Touch Easter, which was something we did. But even during those years where we practiced and rehearsed weeks in advance of Easter, it was all still building up to that one day on Easter weekend, Good Friday or Easter Sunday. It was all about that one moment. And what I've started appreciating more and more as I learn these traditional Christian seasons that can happen throughout the year is that there's much more to our holidays than just the one day. Rather, there is a spiritual rhythm that we can develop as we go through each year. And that then makes these special days even more meaningful and engaging and enriching. And during Advent last year, which is Advent is the build-up to Christmas, right? During Advent last year, I made a suggestion that we could give up something for Advent. So a kind of fast, which is relatively unorthodox for Advent because fasting is usually associated with Lent. But the point was that we could give up something during Advent to use it to help us stir up feelings of longing, of waiting and anticipation for that day when it finally comes. And after that sermon, my good friend James suggested to me that we could both go without coffee through Advent, and we did. And can I just say, I have never looked forward to Christmas Day as much as I did last year. Making that fresh cup of coffee and taking a sip on Christmas morning was so good. And the feeling that stirred up in me, it opened for me a new dimension to the meaning of Christmas in a way that you can only feel. And so we are 2 weeks out from Easter right now. What is something you could do over these next 2 weeks to prepare your hearts for the season of Easter? A few of us have been following the Lent reading plan in the Bible app that was posted up on the Facebook page. And what I really liked about this plan was that it wasn't just reading. It had scripture, it had a daily thought, but it also had a daily practice. Something to really bring the scripture to life. And the first day of the plan, it started up with picking up some soil and looking at it and reminding us ourselves of the words in Genesis. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. You're just setting the scene for who I am in relation to who God is and what the Easter story means, what it brings to us in this fallen world. And then it branches out, and every week we looked at a different spiritual practice associated with Lent. And so for the past 4 weeks, those of us who were doing the plan, we looked at listening, we looked at longing, looked at repentance, and we looked at fasting. So this morning I want to dive a little bit into each of these spiritual practices. And as you listen, ask yourself this question: does this practice resonate with me? Is this something I would like to try to go deeper in my relationship with God? This time leading up to Easter is the perfect time for us to strip back the busyness of our lives and dig that little bit deeper in our walk with God. So which one of these practices could you maybe dip your toes into these next 2 weeks? The first week was about listening. Lord, teach me how to listen to you. When we go back to that metaphor of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, it's one thing to be sitting at Jesus' feet. It's another thing to be listening at Jesus' feet. Now, I don't know how you spend your personal prayer time, but when I was younger, it was literally me talking at God. Right, so sometimes I'd have a list of prayer requests, and so I'd just go through them. I'd say, God, help me with this. Help that person with that. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're just starting out with prayer, or maybe it's a prayer meeting and there are other people listening, yeah, that's fine. But in your personal, private prayer time, can I encourage you to give this a go? Don't just talk to God. As you pray, also take the time to just sit there in silence and practice listening. People often say, I don't know what I'm listening for. But you can pray that. Lord, teach me to listen to you. Don't forget that God desires relationship with you. If you're willing to listen, God will make himself known to you. Just keep at it as you learn what God's voice sounds like. Other people get distracted easily. I still do. And so I always start my prayers with a simple request. Lord, as I come to you now, calm my heart. Push away those things that distract me. Give me peace in this time. Whatever gets in your way of listening, bring that to God. The important thing is that you're taking time to strip away everything, put everything down, and to just be in God's presence and listen. And so that could be your spiritual practice these next 2 weeks. If you do this, you will be surprised by how much you will grow in your relationship with God just in that short amount of time. If you keep it up every day to just sit and listen for God's voice. The second week was about longing. Lord, rekindle my longing for you. You know, we all have different cravings. I've recently noticed I really like snacks when I'm working. I need a cold drink and something I can nibble on. As I was writing this, I went through a whole packet of chips. It almost feels like a part of me is missing when I don't have things with me as I work. So what about God? Do I have that same longing for God? Do I feel like a part of me is missing, like the chips, if God's not there? You know, as I was reflecting during this particular week, I realized God's not really near the top of my list of my heart longings. Right? My head knows that I need God, but when I get home after a long day of school or work, that's when you know what your heart longs for. And the thing that my heart wants during those times is my computer. It's YouTube to catch up with my favorite YouTubers and the daily content that they push out. It's the news and blogs that I follow. It's It's the latest puzzles from the puzzle people that I subscribe to. You know, those are the longings of my heart, because when I am in my downtime, those are the first things that I reach for. And I wonder how much my life would change if God made that list. One thing I believe God does is that he tugs at our heart to remind us that he is there, but he doesn't force us to notice him. When we set aside intentional time for God, it grows our longing for him, and we start to recognize that feeling. And when we move beyond recognizing that feeling, we start to learn to respond to that feeling. Lord, rekindle my longing for you. Is that perhaps something you need these next 2 weeks? The third week was about repentance. Lord, help me turn towards you. I think I've mentioned before that the word repent in the Bible is metanoia. And what it means is to change, metanoia, your mind. Metanoia, to change your mind. I think the word repent gets a lot of bad press sometimes, because it makes us think of street preachers on the corners shouting, "Repent! Turn from your wicked ways!" And it makes us think repenting as a kind of wallowing in the mud of our sins. My God, I'm so hopeless. Oh, I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be your child. These are the things we might think of when we think of repent. And yet, that's not really what repentance means or what it even looks like. Lord, help me turn towards you. Those words from before, those were the words of the prodigal son. When he went home, he said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be your son." That's what he started to say. But how did the father respond? He responded with love and more love. The focus of repentance isn't so much on what we're turning from as what we're turning to. The reading plan said this: repentance is all about rethinking the direction of our lives. It is not primarily about feeling bad about ourselves. Rather, it is about re-evaluating our lives on the basis that there is available to us another kind of life from Christ, a life lived in the intimate presence of God. So yes, on the road to repentance is confession. Yes, we do have to want to turn our lives around. We have to admit where we lack. But the focus of repentance is the new direction, a new way of living, intimately with God, available to us in Christ. And maybe this is something you would like to be reflecting on these next 2 weeks. What is there in the fullness of life in Christ that you would like to be living into, that you can turn from, turn to? The fourth week was about fasting. Lord, deepen my focus on you. And yeah, fasting, like Michael said, is probably the most well-known practice of Lent. Fasting is something that we haven't really paid much attention to at this church. But I do know that there are pockets of us who are interested and have been learning and practicing fasting. The main practice, purpose of fasting is that it's a practical way. Again, these are all practical ways to engage with our spiritual lives. It's a practical way to help us turn our focus to God. Traditionally, fasting is about giving up food, right? Either we're giving up specific foods or specific meals, or fasting on specific days. And when we do this, we are creating space in our lives that God can come and fill. It is a practice that helps us turn our focus towards God. And because of this idea of making space and shifting our focus, more recently it's been common to extend the idea of fasting beyond food to things like TV or movies or YouTube or social media. I have a friend from Kerry who's doing a social media fast for Lent, and he keeps showing up not knowing what's going on because he hasn't been checking his phone. But that's fine, because I can see that him abstaining from social media for these 40 days His heart has been growing towards God. You can see it in him. Lord, deepen my focus on you. Now, if that sounds like something you're interested in trying these next 2 weeks, there are a few people in our congregation who know the practice much better than I do. And so I'm sure they'll be happy to give you some directions and suggestions. So that's fasting. And finally, this coming week's reading is about sharing. Lord, help me become more generous. Almsgiving is the last major emphasis of Lent. So almsgiving, charity. Lent isn't just a time for repenting and fasting, but also charity. How can we be helping others and serving them in their needs? One of my books says that traditionally, the money saved from fasting during Lent is usually donated to a charitable organization or a friend or person in need. Now, that's something I'd never considered before. Also, next Sunday after church, we will be, as a church, handing out Easter pamphlets and hot cross buns to people in our neighborhood. And that can also be a practical spiritual exercise. And so if this idea of being generous is something that resonates with you, I want to invite you to join us in the reading plan so that we can learn about it together. In fact, if any one of these practices resonates with you, and after today you're thinking about trying one of these over the next 2 weeks, I want to invite you to join us on the reading plan as well. The link will be up on Facebook, and I'm going to put the days corresponding to each practice in the post as well. But this kind of practical approach to faith is something that we don't do often. But I'm becoming more and more convinced that these are the things that help us grow even deeper in our walk with God. In today's busy, busy world, these practical spiritual exercises are some of the things we can be doing to help us imitate Mary, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and in our practice. Sitting at Jesus' feet and seriously spending some time with him. Verse 41, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So I pray that these next 2 weeks leading up to Easter will be a fruitful time of spiritual growth in each of our lives as we engage in the season of Lent. And so to ponder on this, we will now move on to communion. So as you came in, you should have picked up a combined package. If you haven't, please put your hand up, and our ushers will, Gabby will hand one out to you. Now, communion is a time to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. A reminder that if you're joining us from online, we do have these pre-packaged communion packets at church. So if you ever swing by on a weekday, or if you happen to be here, feel free to take some home with you, and you can use that while you're in your space as well. But we've been talking about practical spiritual exercises this whole morning, so let's try a practice right now. So stop what you're doing, stand up, and hold out your hands, everyone, in front of you. Right? Online, you can join us and do this at home as well. You don't have to stand up, though. So what are some things that are making you busy right now? Things that distract you, things that worry you, things that make you upset. Imagine these things on your hands. You're holding on to it. Now breathe in. And as you breathe in, place yourself where Mary is, sitting at Jesus' feet. As you breathe out, those things in your hands, release them and give them over to Jesus. Breathe in during Jesus' presence. Breathe out, put down your busyness. Breathe in, you're in Jesus' presence. Breathe out, give those things over to Him. Breathe in, I want to know you more. Breathe out, I surrender to you. Breathe in, presence. Breathe out, distractions, worries, anxieties, laid down. And just as you keep doing that, let me read from the Gospel of Matthew. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he took it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we do communion today, as we ponder on your sacrifice for us, in this time leading up to Easter, turn our minds to you. Where we are busy, give us rest. Where we are distracted, give us focus. Where we are worried, give us peace. As we turn to you this Easter, will you meet us and let us know you deeper? In Jesus' name, amen. So take a seat and let's partake together.